Ready? World class. Do not scratch your eyes.
This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus.
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores. It's 3-0 United States.
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we have plenty to get to today. We will be talking about a little snafu that could cause a dream matchup to not happen. A dream matchup that's happened 700 times in the past. But
one last time.
One last time may not even happen. And of course, we're talking about Aerosmith's final world tour. Also.
And Billy Joel's.
There is some teams have to make difficult choices. Apparently, Real Madrid.
It's gonna be tough for you
in the transfer portal. We have to transfer portal. Wrong sport. That's college sports. Yep. My bad. That's in the world of the transfer market all around the world, the global soccer market. Real Madrid may have to make a tough decision. So we'll talk about that. Also, the Crew start off preseason training, so we're happy for that. I'm wearing my Crew MLS Cup 2023 shirt.
Look nice.
Today.
Looks very nice on you.
First shirt that I can say I purchased that has the new Carabiner logo on it.
Good for you. You got over the hump.
Well,
all it
did
took
today.
For them was to win an MLS Cup.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You win MLS Cup, I guess I have to, at that point. I mean, I still don't think it's a great design,
sure.
But whatever. I've made my point. But we're going to start off. There's also been a fight between a player and a coach. We saw that. We also have some drama surrounding one of the best players in the world with his club team versus his national team. But we are going to start with a guy who is not one of the best players in the world, who also has similarly drama sometimes at his club and national team, and that is Giovanni Reyna.
Yep.
Starting there today, Beam. This is a guy who I'm starting to wonder if the juice is worth the what is that? Is the juice
squeeze
worth the squeeze?
Worth the juice. Squeeze worth the squeeze.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's something to do with
squeezing
your fruits and getting juice out of them. I don't know. But anyway, Giovanni Reyna apparently now has options because Dortmund have reached agreements with Marseille and Nottingham Forest, among others. Is that how I read that?
Yeah.
So it's not just those two. They've got options.
Those are probably the two highest profile, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's probably then lesser clubs that are also interested, but they've got agreements with at least two teams, possibly more, that would want Gio Reyna on a loan with a possibility of being a permanent transfer.
Buyout clause, yeah.
Yeah. And that is something that apparently now it's in his court to decide where he wants to go. He does not want to stay at Borussia Dortmund.
Has made that super clear.
He played less than 400 minutes so far for them this past year.
386 minutes across 13 matches.
Yeah.
Is what he's gotten. So
right.
Almost 400 minutes of soccer in the last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a little over four games.
Yeah.
Like four full 90-minute games is what that – I mean, that's – you know, when you're appearing in 13 matches, that's the equivalent of playing four 90 minutes roughly. That's not a lot.
No.
And they obviously have played more than 13 games, so he's not even featuring in some of these. He wants to go somewhere where he's going to play more. He feels like that's an opportunity he has. I bring this up in part. I mean, we can talk about Gio Reyna, but I just wanted to highlight – the juxtaposition I saw, which was I'm scrolling on ESPN, reading this article on ESPN FC. And so it says, you know, all that stuff about Giovanni Reyna. He's made 24 appearances for the national team, registering 7 goals and 3 assists. Information from ESPN's Tom Hamilton contributed to this report. Next thing that I see after I scroll past that, Manchester City signed Argentine wonder kid Echeverri from River Plate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you could not highlight better, I think, the disparity and differences between where U.S. soccer is and where it needs to go and where Argentina lives. I know they're
on top of the mountain.
Defending World Cup champs, right? But it's not the this is a thing you would have seen over name your decade. You could have found stories like this. And what I want to point out is that Gio Reyna was believed at one time to be that wonder kid type of player that was going to be a Borussia Dortmund, play a few years there, build up, show everybody what he can do, and then
do is what every young player, promising player does, and move to somewhere else.
Yes, go to a bigger Champions League type of team. Now we are at a point, I mean, he's 21 years old.
Yeah.
He's not by any means out of even entering his
prime. It's young in life perspective, in soccer perspective. It's like, yes, that's at the age where you should start moving into like into stardom, right?
Right. Well, this again, like I just said, the 18-year-old from Argentina is moving on to play. Well, now again, he's signed to Manchester City. Who knows if they're loaning him out?
It's the
or
same.
Whatever.
You could look at like Endrick, right, for Brazil, signing for Real Madrid. What is he, 16 or 17 years old?
Yeah.
Martin Odegaard was that way. I mean, when he signed out of his academy, and like when he signed, I think it was academy in Denmark, and he went to play for Real Madrid. Like, I mean, there have been, you know, guys who have done that before, and there are history cases. Now, Martin Odegaard obviously ends in the Erling Haaland bucket. Like, you got him and Haaland on the same team. Like, they need to do more on their national scale. Like, that's a, but to your point, like the stark difference and stark contrast of Argentina being obviously World Cup champions compared to the United States of America and the men's side, which is like, okay, this is going to be it. This is the golden generation is what we're going to be in. We're entering the golden generation with Christian Pulisic and Gio Reyna and all these different guys. And now it's like, well, you start to look at all these different guys. It's like, well, maybe they haven't lived up to the billing quite yet.
Well, right. And with Gio Reyna, there is time still for him to turn this thing. Yeah. I mean, if he goes and has a couple years where he's playing out of his mind, my point being this, when we get to the U.S. soccer landscape, I didn't mean to make that sound so negative about U.S. soccer. Obviously, it's better than it has been for a very long time, but it just shows you the gap still that exists between where U.S. soccer is and where the top team in the world is in Argentina, and where like their talent level, they just won with Lionel Messi finishing out his career, ending his, you know, international run with a World Cup. The only thing he really had left to accomplish, they did that. And they've already got the next kid. The other team that was looking at him besides Manchester City was Barcelona.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So not the only other team, the only other serious team that he would consider, because that I'm sure every other team in the world would love to have this dude too, but you're only going to certain places if you're that good. And that's where his interest level was. So I guess I'm bringing that up to say Gio Reyna is certainly a case study in guys that a lot of people were just like, well, he's going to be great. And I do think he still could be. I mean, I'm one of the people who I didn't jump off the bandwagon when all the stuff went down between the Reynas and the Berhalters and all that drama from the last World Cup. Like, I still think he's a talented player. I do think he's extremely injury prone.
Yeah.
I think that's a reason if you said I can't, that's part of the reason why his development has stunted a bit too, is it's not just that he's not playing well, although I'm sure there's some of that. It's also he's been injured. But at some point, availability is something that matters. And if you're not out there, you're not out there.
Well, the best ability is availability, right? Yeah. Going back to the old, like, sports radio usage. And and it's true. Like, if you're not available to play matches and you're not available for training, then how can you get any better? Like, yeah, sure, you may be ahead of guys your age at 16, 17, 18, 19. Like, natural skill and progression is going to take you through. But when you're playing against the best in the world, and Dortmund does, you know, on a week-in, week-out basis in the Bundesliga and then the Champions League, like, how do you get better? How do you find that 1%? How do you unlock that? And sure, maybe it's stunted by some of his injury proneness, but I also think, too, like, that whole situation with the U.S. men's national team, we don't have to, you know, rehash that. It does, it feels like it was such a promising track that he's on. And again, I mean, he could still be on that promising track. I mean, we're talking about Marseille and the Nottingham Forest, like Legia, and then a Premier League team. Like,
yeah, right.
I mean, those are still massive opportunities for him to go and play. But it does feel like ever since that situation with his dad and his family and then with the Berhalters and how all that became a mess, that it really, it hasn't derailed his career, obviously, but it has, like, the tracks have slowed down on that significantly.
Well, what I feel like a lot of times happens around him, and this is not, I don't even know if it's his fault. I don't know who to blame for this, but it is something that you have to say is happening, and that is there's a lot more talk about what he's going to become than what he is.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's I feel like a lot more of the discussion around him, good, bad, or otherwise, is people, some people, it's the opposite, where they say he's not going to be anything. He's not that good. I don't think he's that guy. There's too much drama with him. But it's always about what it will be in the future. It's never about what it is right now. Because usually what it is right now is he's not playing.
Isn't that the world we live in, like, as a U.S. men's national, like, as fans of the U.S. team?
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
I feel like we just consistently, like, we live in this world. Like, the last World Cup, it's like, well, this is a good run. But next 4 years' time,
I know, man.
Like, watch this. And then something will happen, and we'll get bounced in the round of 16 or round of 32, however they're doing the World Cup in a couple of years' time. I don't even know the, you know, stages of that and how that's going to look with being 48 teams. But we're gonna do the same thing in 2 years. Like, yeah, this team is good, but next time, like, well, no, dude, like, you've got, like, Yunus Musa and Weston McKennie and Christian Pulisic and, like, I mean, you've got dudes.
Yeah, you need to, it, like, that's the point, is that, like, those
guys.
You've
got dudes now.
Yeah, you need to fill it out and make sure that you're there and ready to go in a couple more years when we get back to a World Cup, because, I mean, it's not going to be long before it's here. I mean, we're in 2024. 2 years from this summer is the World Cup. Crazy as that is.
I watched the U.S. friendly against Serbia.
Okay.
Over this past weekend, and it was pretty wild to see three crew players all playing at the same time.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, and that's, there's a lot of talent on this crew team, certainly, and there are a lot of good players that I think have opportunities. Will they get those once they start getting to the full camp, you know, in a few years, and as we start getting actual, you know, qualifiers, even though I know the qualifiers this round don't mean anything because they're already automatically qualified, but you still got to measure yourself against the best teams out there.
It was pretty neat to see Sean Zawadzki, Aiden Morris, and Patrick Schulte, like, all out there for the U.S.
Yeah,
men's
right.
national
I mean,
team. Though.
There's only 11. There's only 11 players. Yeah. Three of the 11 are crew guys, which
that was pretty neat.
Oh, of course. And I think that's a good place to show where the Columbus Crew are. It's also something I think you have to look at with the U.S. national team as we get to see what the full roster is going to be when you bring the European guys in.
Also haven't seen Balogun, right? I mean,
yeah, that's right.
It's another guy who we're obviously super excited to see since he has announced that he's going to be a USA player.
The reality is, do you have to have a 18-year-old, 17-year-old? I mean, this kid that I was talking about in Argentina, he's played 6 or 7 matches, I want to say, for River Plate.
Yeah, not a lot.
That's it. And what Manchester City did was they signed him and then said, okay,
stay
but
there.
You'll stay there until January of next year. So he's got a whole nother year to play in South America.
It's not like they're rushing to win anything right now. No, they've already done it.
Well, yeah. Also, you could argue, I mean, they've got guys.
They've got dudes.
They're stacked. They've got players everywhere. But they're ready for the next round, is what I'm saying. They're ready for the next group of guys to come through. And this is very indicative of Manchester City and their power. But it's also indicative of how good Argentina's program is. And that's where I guess I just highlight Gio Reyna has plenty of time to change the trajectory of his career. I hope it does change. I hope he can stay healthy. To me, that's the biggest key for him, is if he stays healthy, then I do think the talent will eventually rise. And then it takes, you know, 6 months of great soccer in world soccer on the big stages, Premier League, France, wherever, you'll be right back in those conversations to get loaned out to a bigger club.
I think flip side of that, though, if he goes to Marseille or if he goes to Nottingham Forest, and then whether or not he is injured or he misses time or he's not playing in games, like, that could be a serious then derailment of what was a young pro. Like, that, I mean, that's a serious threat.
Part of this article said that the Reynas and his manager, they were not his team manager, his agent, I guess I should say, his agent and the Reyna family were surprised there weren't more offers or more lucrative type of offers. They still want Dortmund does apparently want a price tag to transfer him permanently of like $15 to $16 million. Yeah. Dollars. So it's not like he's a nothing player, but he is falling back into that realm that would be not at the level that you're talking about for what he was projected to be initially.
$50-60 million player is what you were expecting.
Yes, exactly right.
And at this point,
what does that mean as far as, does it matter what people think of him as far as in the transfer market? What matters is he can play. But now you obviously have to question what it's going to be like with the national team. I know he and Berhalter have apparently, you know, tried to bury the hatchet and move on from
that.
That's
good.
But the reality is, the issue at the time before all this, what caused all of this in the first place? I don't mean like it's anybody's fault. I don't mean it's Berhalter's fault necessarily. What I'm saying is this whole scandal with the U.S. national team happened because Gio Reyna was told, you're not a big part of the plan. And that was when he was viewed a lot better than he is now.
Yeah.
So that time, at the time, Greg Berhalter was not a huge fan of his game in that tournament for that moment. Maybe that was something where he was saying, yeah, when I see a little bit more of you. And he hadn't been healthy then either, right? He was coming back from injury in that tournament.
But again, I mean, that's a year and a half ago.
What I'm saying now is, unless he goes out and balls out here, if he does end up getting kind of buried playing super sub minutes for a team like Nottingham Forest or Marseille, then it becomes, oh, he's just that kind of player who's really not at the level that you can rely on for 90 minutes, and he's not the type of guy who can come in and, you know, really just own a match. He's more of a super sub guy at the national team level.
Or if that's a super sub, like he's a guy.
That's all I'm saying.
Jag.
That means then it essentially, it's a matchup play and it's not right. And I'm saying all the hopes.
Like Christian Ramirez, super sub.
Yeah, right.
Like we'll come in and win a game.
Yes, right. But I'm saying that's not, even if he is that, that's not what he was projected to be. That's not what the hopes and dreams were built on with him. And I know he's just one player, but in the national team, he was one of those guys that was penciled in as a like, yeah, this is our mid. We got one of our midfielders figured out
for the
like,
next three World Cups.
Yeah, we got the dude, and we may not have the dude now. Is my point. So, a situation that bears monitoring is that one, and we will continue to keep an eye on it. How about this story from the Bundesliga?
Your guys,
Union Berlin. There was the coach there for Union Berlin, Nenad Bjelica.
Nailed it.
I'll say that's his name. He got red card in the 74th minute of their game against your guys, Bayern Munich, who apparently won the game 1-0, but that's not the big story out of this because there was a point where there was a shove to the face of Sané in this game. Not once, but twice by this coach.
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes we see situations where players will put their hands on each other, right? I mean, we've obviously the most infamous or famous, we've had a lot of them, infamous and famous incidents of this over the years were player-on-player crime. The Zinedine Zidane headbutt to Marco Materazzi. Like,
yeah,
that's one of the most famous ones. Drogba getting red-carded for a slap. Like, Luis Suarez and the bite. Like, I mean, these things happen usually between player-player. We rarely see where it's an opposing coach getting involved with an opposing player. Like, that's not a situation that we really – like, sure, maybe some words are exchanged kind of on the touchline. If a guy's going in, ball, you get a throw-in or whatever, and you're near the team bench. Rarely do we see it where it's like, hey, I'm the coach, and I'm going to put a hands on another player. Like, I don't care what sport it is. Like, there are lines that you don't cross, and that is a line that is for sure crossed.
Well, and that's where – I mean, I don't know this coach's background. I'm going to guess, like, many – coaches at this level, he was a former player at some level, maybe at a high level, but in either case, this is the type of thing that you have to remember where you are. And he did after the game. He said, look, that's that's an unacceptable action by me. And he said, I do understand what I did. And I was excited because of there was a penalty shout by Union Berlin that they thought should have been called. It did not get called,
and it's imperative for them too, because I mean, if you remember with Union, they were one of the great stories in the Bundesliga last year. I mean, they finished top four in the Bundesliga. They got into Champions League for this upcoming year. Not in Champions League anymore.
No,
but you look at the Bundesliga table, like points are at a premium for them.
Well, they're in danger of getting relegated.
They are 3 points ahead of a relegation spot right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's Mainz sitting in 18th spot. They're in or 16th. They only have 18 teams. They're sitting in 16th. I mean, Union's only 3 points ahead of them with half of the matches played.
Yeah, that's deeply concerning. So they've got to figure that out quickly. And so I know the stress level is there, but yeah, when the ball comes to you on the sideline, he basically had the ball, their manager did, and Sané tried to get the ball away from him. And then
happens all the, if you watch any soccer.
And all you do is you flip it away to him, and then you walk away.
Or like, you just put it down, or you put it just down, roll it down on the ground.
Yeah. But
you need to hold on to it.
Yeah, and then he used his hand to kind of push Sané away to his face, not once but twice. And, I mean, it was an aggressive shove.
Yes.
And it's – you don't do that. You don't touch players if you're a coach or anybody. You just don't do that. But – yeah, not a good look there at all. So he's clearly going to get suspended. I haven't seen. Maybe by the time this comes out, he will have been suspended.
For sure going to get suspended.
Trying to think of the – what's one of the most – can you think of an unhinged thing that you've seen a coach do on a sideline of a soccer field? I mean, there's a lot of those where we see guys losing their minds and complaining about calls. Trying to think of if I can think of anything like
I think the Antonio Conte Thomas Tuchel situation.
That's a good one. That's probably
a couple
the most
years
recent.
Ago with Spurs and Chelsea.
Yeah, that was
pretty good.
Like the handshake thing, right? Where they were both like just
I want to shake your hand. Like that was like those two guys.
Yeah, I think that's probably about the best one we could come up with on short notice. But yeah, those are. I mean, you just can't do this stuff. So. Coaches, you're on.
I mean,
we could
do an entire podcast series of players losing their mind.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Roy Keane against Alfie Holland.
But
I mean, stomping on him. Obviously, I mean, there's a Don Matarazzi thing. Was great. Cantona flying into the stands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, going after that somebody in the stands. Unhinged. That was a pretty good one. Diego Maradona fighting like 19 players at once when he was at Barcelona.
Who did I just see? I'm going to totally butcher. I cannot remember who it just was. Someone who kicked a ball boy. Do you remember
this? Oh, Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was Eden Hazard at Chelsea. They got together.
Did you see that?
I did.
Eden Hazard, if you missed this, this was, 10 years ago or more, I guess?
I think it was. It was a great – it was great. I mean, because ball boys are told by the coaches. I mean, a couple of years ago when –
we talked about Liverpool.
Liverpool against Barcelona, right? They're down 3-0. They need to win 4-3 to move on to the, I think, Champions League final. I think that was in a semifinal. And Klopp said to the ball boys on the sideline, like, hey, Barcelona like to – you know, complain to the refs and do everything. Like, they're not going to be set.
Get the ball to us as quickly as you can. Like, it looked like they're Harlem Globetrotters. Whenever, the ball got out of bounds, they had another ball ready, and the Liverpool player would no sooner be out of touch, and then they would have the ball to him, and he was, barely 2 feet out, right back in to throw. And then, Barcelona's, adjusting their shoes and, checking their shin guards, yelling at the officials.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, play is just – it's like the ball didn't even go out of bounds. And it was – beautiful to watch. But
so
anyway.
ball boys play an imperative role too. I mean, and I think 10 years ago then, this wouldn't have been because Hazard was at Chelsea at the time.
It was Chelsea, yes, where this happened.
Yeah, but. And so because I think it was, it was Hazard, and there was a ball boy who was, I think Hazard was coming up to get the ball for a corner or something like that, and instead of just giving Eden Hazard the ball, he kind of flips it over his shoulder or flips it somewhere else, like you see players do to try to kill time off the clock.
Yeah.
And then, subsequently, a few moments later in the game, the ball is rolling towards this ball boy, and he's getting ready to go and pick it up, and Eden Hazard just blasts the ball right at his gut.
Yeah, that was
– I mean, that's great content.
Well, it is. But here's the new part of this. So 10 years on, that kid has now grown up and apparently started some kind of liquor business where, I don't know how old he was, 13, 14 at the time, but he's old enough now. Now, I don't know, maybe his dad or mom is super rich and they helped him start this, or maybe he's just a brilliant wonder kid in his own right in business. Either way, he started a company that's apparently worth like $50 million.
Oh, my God.
And so they hooked something up where, I saw they had drinks. They had this blue liquid they were drinking, and it looks like this was like a promotional thing that he did for his liquor company, this ball kid, to say hey, remember this moment? Well, hey, here I am now. And they were both toasting each other and having a nice moment where they were smiling and laughing. So I'm guessing, I don't know if Hazard got paid for that or what happened, but they set it back up for these two to meet up.
That's great.
Yeah, but he's an adult now and has his own company, I guess, and that's the connection, but... wild. That was how that would go.
Who was it for? I think it was Emmanuel Adebayor. He's either playing for Arsenal at the time or playing for City. And I think he was playing for Arsenal. Then they visited City and he ran a full 95 yards after he scored a game winning goal and did the slide in front of the City fans. That great interactions with the fans. I mean, we see that from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, there's so many great instances of that. It just even in the last recent years, Jamie Vardy, shithousery king, he's good for that once every couple of months.
Yes, of course. Yeah, he's always got something good for the fans and bad if you're not a fan of his.
Although I'm not really a fan of his, but I do like him.
I understand what you mean.
I don't like Lester.
But you like watching him play.
Yes.
Right. I get that.
Maybe one of the most underrated players, and I think he's rated fine, but.
No, he's one of those guys that's just, he's good for something pretty, he's going to never give up the work rate when it comes to playing and going after a ball, and he's going to fight. He believes, he's also just one of those guys that's a club legend, to a degree, how Alan Shearer was at Newcastle, where it's just you identify this person with this one club.
Yeah.
Because of that, just how many times you've seen that guy in the same uniform, week in, week out, year in, year out, hustling for a ball, that kind of stuff, making great plays, making great goals, all that stuff. But it's that one club that they're identified with, that's where I think that he kind of stands in that regard. Not that he's the same level of goal scorer, but still
very good
goal scorer. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have neighbor Eric's question, and another great goal scorer is not in drama, but there's a little bit of doubt as to whether or not he's going to be available for his national team for one of their possibly biggest games ever. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. Tweet us at Bone Beam United on Twitter.
We got a great message from Jay on Twitter, and Jay says, you know, we were talking about Girona.
Yeah.
We were big fans of Girona, and what a story that was. Because I heard you guys were excited about Girona's run in La Liga so far this season. I was too, until I heard one detail. They're largely owned by Citigroup, i.e. Manchester City. Still impressive what they're doing after a couple of seasons, but personally took some air out of the balloon for me. I saw that message, and I'm like, God.
Yeah, I know, right?
It stinks.
You're looking for an underdog in world soccer. It's hard to come by these days, because you wonder why a team you'd never heard of suddenly is making it. Well, hey, we just talked about Leicester.
Right.
Right? When that magic run happened, it wasn't quite to that level, but didn't they get some significant investment that helped them
get to
the point where they become, you know, a Premier League winner at, what, 5,000 to 1 odds or something like that?
Something stupid. Yeah. I think it was 5,000 to 1.
Tragically, I want to say the owner, that was the guy who passed away in the helicopter crash not long after that, like the next year.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of those long shot underdog type stories. The ones that you see that are probably the most that we're going to get these days are in those country cups, like the FA Cup, those type of things, where a team from the third division gets to then play Manchester City and maybe like ties them at home or beats them, something like
gets
that.
Gets the replay.
But then they're not going to go and win the FA Cup. That's just, those days sadly are mostly gone.
You could see one of those matches this weekend, because we're in FA Cup time, of course, across England. Yeah. And I will guarantee a victory for Newport this weekend, because they play United Sunday at 11:30. So.
Are they hosting?
They are hosting, and they're in League Two. It's a League Two team, so it's the bottom of the professional
England. It's Premier League, Championship, League One, League Two. They are fourth division.
And they are, Wrexham is in second. So if you've watched the Rob McElhaney, Ryan Reynolds show, Newport is 14th in League Two. And they get to host Manchester United. They're
not doing as well as Wrexham is. I don't know if they're smaller, but they're doing not as good as Wrexham.
They're sandwiched between Morecambe, and Walsall.
And by the way, like, Wrexham is, I'm not downing Wrexham. Like, it's great. I still haven't got to watch any of the show. I need to. But that is, it's not billionaires. It's not City. But you do have, how is that even happening?
Because
you have a couple of guys fronting a group who brought in millions of investment to get them to what meager heights they've already reached and hope to reach further.
Right.
But if they're going to get up beyond that, you think they're going to do it with It's Always Sunny money, or they're going to have to go get more. And I'm sure they will, because, you know, Amazon or whoever, Hulu, whoever's doing the thing.
FX.
I mean, they're making money off of that, and I'm sure that draws in more interest, but. Yeah, I'm just saying, even that is like as nice of a story as that is. It's like, it's not like it just happened out of nowhere with the same old ownership and the same old everything. It usually takes large infusions of cash.
You know what is going to happen out of nowhere?
What's
Shrimpers.
That? Oh, hey, there we go. Where
Although
they
just got a new owner, too. So
yeah. Well, see, that's pretty much what it is nowadays.
I don't know where
the
Shrimpers are at.
How did Newcastle become great? Oh, that's right. The guy who founded the guy who's made Live Golf funding. Literally, it's the Saudi Public Investment Fund.
Us Shrimpers are 34 points on 27 games played, and that is also including a points penalty for being late on our bills.
Oh,
so
okay,
we've got 13 wins, which is good for 39 points. Mm. 5 draws, which is good for 44. So we should be with 44 points. They should be in fifth place right now.
And where are they?
They're in the 12th.
Oh, because of the points deduction.
Because of the points deduction.
See, they gotta get through that. Got to find a way. Got to overcome. Let's get to neighbor Eric's question of the week. What do you have?
Yep. He said, I'm probably too late for your pod. He sent this to me yesterday.
No,
so I'm like,
no,
nope,
you're not.
You're fine.
Not. You're, good.
You're good on that. When do you think we're going to see the new crew jersey? And what kind of features, colors, designs would you want it to be included in the new look?
I'm very curious about that because, I mean, we are in, as we record this, a month away from the start of the season.
They're in training. I mean,
they're in training right now. I saw that the crew internet slightly broke when they tweeted out pictures of the guys hopping on the plane to go, I think, down to Florida, wherever they're training, I forget. But all those guys had like bright yellow Adidas hoodies on that I'm sure will sell for $100+ at the team store. But they had the new logo, the current logo, with the three stars over it. And of course, people are like, where do I get this? It's got three stars. I want it. Because everybody wants that.
Was it the pyramid?
Yeah.
Or was it triple stack?
Well, it's going to be in the pyramid for now.
Okay.
I think they're eventually going to go to three across the top. I mean, why have a flat? Their whole thing with the circle was like, it doesn't look good with stars. That was one of the reasons they wanted to change it. So you then went with, this is a pennant that has a flat top to it. So I would think eventually, when you're the defending champs, I think they're putting a slightly bigger star over the top to signify we're defending champs. Then next year, if they're not defending again, well, either way, that third star will move down to make it three smaller stars across to fit on top of that, you know, Carabiner logo.
So we get the new yellow jersey this year?
I believe so. I'm probably, I don't know how other people feel about this. I've always wanted to see the crew do hoops. Like, I've always wanted a hoops jersey. I want the horizontal bands going around, that type of thing. If you're not familiar with the hoops, you know, like, that's what I would love to see, a black and gold version of that. Like, almost like a Borussia Dortmund has had off and on throughout their tenure.
Barcelona famous for the hoops.
No. Barcelona?
Yeah. They've got the big ones, right?
Hoops?
Oh, are they vertical?
I think they're vertical, aren't they?
Are they?
Am I wrong? Why am I?
I don't know.
This is like in the office when nobody can remember if Stanley has a mustache or not. Like, what are we talking about? How is this? Hang on.
You remember Steve the Pirate? Oh, we didn't have a pirate on our dodgeball team.
They've got the vertical.
All right.
I'm thinking of, I know
what you're talking about. I just thought that Barcelona, for whatever reason, and I'm stupid.
It's okay. It's all good. It happens. We all have those moments. But that's where I don't think they're doing that. But if you did like yellow and white hoops, like, I think that could be pretty cool. I think they won't, but if they did yellow and white with like black outlines so you could clearly see the delineation.
Yeah.
Or if you did yellow and black, I could go with that, like Bumblebee type look, but guessing they won't. That's what I think would
be cool. I think they're going to straight up is what's going to happen. I think you go full on banana kit again.
Well, there's that too, right? I do think you should go back to the traditional look of all yellow the whole way. Yellow socks, yellow shorts, yellow everything.
Black stars above the crest too.
Ooh.
I think that would be a nice.
I think that
would be a nice look.
I do like that. I don't know if they'll do that, but no. I do think that would be awesome. That would be actually really
With an outline on like the black stars, and then the outline with like a Vegas gold.
Like, oh, okay.
Outside of like the yellow.
Okay, just to signify that it's championship or something, right?
Yeah. Or even like there's just the top star this year being the one with like the Vegas gold.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I'm guessing we won't, I don't know what we'll get, but I hope that they at least can do banana kit. How did you feel about like vertical little like pinstripes? I've seen, because we had a year, I think, where we had some of that going on, and I always thought that was a good look.
I like the pinstripes.
Yeah, I could see them doing that too. I wish they would. I don't know if they will. I did see, it looked like someone had tried to, because I've seen no leaks on this.
I haven't either, no.
I've been looking. Can someone please leak this so we can at least all judge it harshly? Because that's why we're here, is really as soccer fans, is to watch soccer and judge things. That's all we do.
And talk about fashion.
Yeah, well, that too. Well, only when it comes to like jersey reveal. For like a week, everyone's a fashion expert, and then we forget about it for, you know, a year until
the new one comes out.
Or whatever team you root for. So if you're like a fan of the national team, whatever your nationality is.
And their kits are, U.S. kits recently, always trash.
Oh, yeah. They have been largely garbage the last few years.
Do a Croatia print next time.
No kidding. Well, then.
That's a whole nother podcast, best looking national team.
Croatia's strong.
Brazil's strong, classic. Portugal, strong.
Portugal, good. Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. Now you got me thinking. Man, you know what? They're not in the World Cup half the time anymore, but Italy with the blue.
Classic look.
Like the blue top and the white pants, like that's a good look.
Argentina with the stripes.
Yes, of course. The tricolores, right? Is that them? No.
I don't know.
I think, I forget. That's someone's nickname. I probably got that wrong, but I think that's because they have I forget. I feel like Atlanta was ripping that off with their like five stripes deal. I feel like that was something with Argentina where they were like the three stripes. I don't know. Anyway. I like Argentina's jersey.
France, very good.
Yeah. Mexico, I don't really
Mexico
have a good...
Mexico always bangers their third alternate.
Their
Japan,
always,
fire.
Yeah.
Every
those
time,
are always,
fire.
Theirs are good. I was just going to say, Mexico, though, I don't feel like I have a good grasp on what their regular look at this point. Is they're kind of doing like the U.S. does, where it's like they don't have as much of an identity with the regular kit anymore.
Did you see the news come out of Mexican soccer that Chicharito is going back to MAEK's?
I did see that. I also saw that Brandon Vasquez, formerly of FC Cincinnati, made his debut last weekend against for Monterrey, and then last night made his home debut and scored.
Nice.
So right off the bat, got to Liga MX, pretty much first home game in that beautiful stadium Monterrey plays in, scored a goal.
I was watching some of it last night. It wasn't live, but I was watching a Univision game, and I like to do that from time to time just because it's on. And I was watching Tigres take on Guadalajara. So that was pretty fun for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I
in a driving rainstorm.
Yeah. Like I will tell you right now, if the way that they are marking Brandon Vasquez that they were in this game, if that continues, he will score 100 goals.
Hammer the over.
Yeah. I don't think they will. I think teams will adjust, but early results there was like they are not marking him the way that he gets that most teams
you
do in MLS.
Do that.
Yeah. That's something you could say about MLS. Like you can talk about maybe the high end skill. Maybe you don't feel like some of those players are as good as some of the best high end skill players in Liga MX, though I think that's an argument now. Defensively, the best teams in Liga MX good at that.
Yeah.
But your mid table and below, there's and I know I'm saying this about the league that just got torched by 38-year-old or whatever he is, Lionel Messi, last year and probably will get torched again this year. Defensively, still plenty of issues with MLS, but I think they marked Brandon Vasquez slightly better than what I saw in that game. So let's hope it changes.
Lionel Messi better than Brandon Vasquez.
Yes, this is also true. All right, let's talk about we'll get to Messi in a second, but we're going to talk about Mo Salah, the Liverpool stud who has been playing with Egypt, of course, in the AFCON, the African Cup of Nations. So Egypt made it through to the next round. Mm-hmm. They had a 2-2 draw with Ghana, in which he suffered a hamstring injury, I want to say. And so to get treatment for that, the option is to stay with the national team or to go back to your club and get treatment.
Yep.
And I don't know how you feel about that. I was curious to get your thoughts on it because I can see both sides to that. But I can
see the going back to your club a little. Like, I mean, if you're going to be out a couple of weeks, like go back to your club. They're paying the majority.
Well, they're paying
a lot
your salary.
They're paying your salary.
Their investment, right?
You go back to where, you know, you're playing the majority of your games at and your investment. Like that would be my preference.
I understand. Well, and I understand why they kind of have a say too of we want him back here because we want to monitor how he's recovering. Now, the concern has been there. Jurgen Klopp answered this and said 100% they make it. If they're still playing in 2 weeks,
yep.
If they make it to a final, that he would, you know, that would be around the time frame where they think he'd be good to go. He will be available for it if he's healthy. We will not be like they're not going to keep him there, and he's not going to refuse to come back. He will want to go back. He said anybody questioning Mo Salah's loyalty should look themselves in the mirror. He's one of the most loyal. He's the most loyal Egyptian I've ever met, or something like that. But the point I want to get to is I do understand a bit of the criticism of him that you're the captain of this team. And now you're leaving to go get treatment. It's not like he's leaving for no reason, but I understand the idea of like, don't you want to be on the sideline for these games? And I'm understanding that if Egypt fans to some degree, I don't know how many feel that way, but if people were looking at that and saying, yeah, I wish he were staying here. I get that too. And mm-hmm. I do think Liverpool, the part I never understood with that is why can't Liverpool send their guys down to treat him?
Right.
Like this is one of your big investments. You could send guys out there to evaluate him. You know,
monitor him.
Well, you could evaluate him. You could meet with the doctors there with, you know, Egypt with their team. I'm sure they have team physicians as well. Go over the treatment plan with him and then say, here's what we want you guys to do. They could implement that. He could stay there, be a part of that. And then they check back with him every day. And they, you know, once fly back in a week and see how he's doing. I mean, I know that's a lot of travel, but I feel like I feel like there would be a way that could happen if it was desired to happen.
But especially too, I mean, you know, the mantle that Mo Salah has, right? I mean, like be with your team during these crucial matches. And it was good news that if they do play in the final, I mean, what are the chances that they're going to get there? One of the best teams, you know,
of course.
AFCON, but that he will be back. So that's good news. Did you see the news on, I mean, again, like I also understand that, I mean, Liverpool is going for a possible quadruple this year.
Yeah. Like, ridiculous.
They're in the final of the Carabao Cup, still in the FA Cup, Champions League, obviously, and leading the race now. in the Premier League. So, like, I get it why Liverpool want him back. Other AFCON news, did you see my guy Andre Onana? Did you see what was going on with him?
No.
He got dropped by Cameroon.
Really? Wow. I don't know their goalkeeping situation, so who
I don't
know
who not a $70 million okay. guy.
I didn't think so, right?
They played against Gambia on Tuesday, and they needed to win to get into the round of 16, and their coach dropped him, said, wow. You're not good enough. Wow. You can't play for us.
Wow.
And they scored two goals in stoppage time to win.
Oh, man.
So they did get to the round of 16, and now it's like, well, are you going to play him or are you going
to
roll?
What was the final? Do you know what the score was of that game?
3-2. 3-2.
Oh, so there were so two goals were let in by the backup keeper.
No. Sorry. Cameroon scored two goals, but yes, two goals were allowed by the backup keeper.
That's what I mean, right. Yeah. Okay. Because I just wonder how, like, if that guy came in and got a clean sheet, then it's like, well, hey. But he gave up a couple goals, so maybe your guy's not completely out of it. Maybe he comes back. Maybe they get him back. You never know. Maybe then he gets – I don't know how you feel if you're – like, you've been – you know that it's been rough in the Premier League, and then you go back to your home country, and you're playing in this big tournament, and this is obviously very important, and then that manager is like, yeah, and sorry, I don't believe in you, and I didn't pay $70 million for you. I don't have to believe in you. I'm going to believe in who I want to believe in.
The starting goalkeeper for Cameroon is Fabrice Ondoa.
Okay.
He currently plays for a Lege 2 side.
Lege 2. Or Lege 2. Lege 2. There we go.
He plays for Nîmes.
Nîmes.
Yes. He is also Andre.
They did my air conditioning.
Andre Onana.
No? Reem. I'm sorry. It's Reem. My bad.
He is also Andre Onana's cousin. So that's going to be an awkward family barbecue.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, congrats, cuz. Yeah.
Thank you.
Congrats. This is
how's stuff
weird.
Going at League Two? How's stuff going at Manchester United?
How's it feel to be a $70 million disappointment? I mean, what?
How's the weather up there?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Gosh, that's something. All right. Well, thanks for that update. I had no idea. Also, I had not been paying attention to this, but apparently now the decision for Real Madrid is between Kylian Mbappe and Vinicius Jr.
Yeah, that's a tough decision. So we've done the whole Kylian Mbappe saga. I mean, we're approaching the end of January.
I thought it was over and done with. I thought he was just not going to be like it, they said, like, our ultimatum is like last week. They're like, we don't want to wait around to the end of January. Well, we're getting to the end of January.
Here we are. I mean, it's the 25th of January
as we record. Yes.
Window's going to close here in a couple of days. And apparently it's now like, hey, we want Kylian Mbappe, but it's either you or Vinny. And I don't know how you, I mean, it's Kylian Mbappe, but I'm not doing that deal.
I'm
Real Madrid.
I'm with you, man. As much as I think Kylian Mbappe is one of the best players in the world, and we know how dangerous he is and all those other things, Vinicius is there and gets it and is a part of
it.
Like, it has to do with having your player who understands what the club means and is able to function in the club. Playing at Real Madrid is not for everyone. Yeah. And I'm not saying Kylian Mbappe would be like, oh, no, attention. I've never. Like, I mean, he's been in the spotlight. He knows what it's like when the bright lights come on. He responds well in those moments. But I just feel like there's something to the idea of fitting in with the team, fitting in with the coach, fitting in with, you know, everything that goes on. I do think that's a real issue. That's a real thing you have to weigh. And you have a guy now who is flourishing in that spot. And so you're going to get I don't want to diminish Kylian Mbappe. It's not that he would be like a fraction better than Vinicius. He might be like a step up even, like a full step up, if that's possible, from Vinicius, as good as Vinny is. But he's not been there, done that, and you don't know if that's the version you're getting. You may get him there, and then suddenly he is worse than he is now, and that makes him maybe worse than Vinny. Which you could argue Vinny's better than him anyway. I mean, there's arguments to be made there. I don't think I would make it. I think I'd take Mbappe as far as just player for player. But I'd rather have the guy that I know who's been delivering in that spot than to take a bit of a chance on the guy who I don't know he delivers there.
Florentino Perez, I think it was the president of Real Madrid, right?
Yes.
Just has to be like, dude, Just walk through our doors. We've done all the groundwork for the last 4 years. We wanted to sign you when you played for Monaco.
Is this Mbappe saying I won't come if he's there?
I don't know.
Or is this Real Madrid saying why are we going to have like $1 billion invested into one position on the field?
650,000 pounds a week to be on his wages.
Yeah, and
let alone all bonuses. And
what's Vinny making? Like, already a ridiculous amount of money, yeah, and I'm sure it would be more if he continues to play well. Like we talked about earlier, I don't know how you make that work. I guess it's a good problem to have if everybody was going to play together.
They will make it work.
But the idea is they may not.
I think this is also, too, this is word coming out of, like, Real Madrid camp.
Sure.
Where it could be like, hey, you know, Killian, if you decide to come here, like, it's going to cost us Vinny. So, I mean, I think there could be contractual negotiations kind of going on.
Okay.
Like, hey, if you do decide to come here, like, we're going to lose this guy.
We can't pay. If you want as much money as you're asking for, then we can't keep Vinicius. And then that does change our team a bit, and I hope you understand that that's what you're asking for. And then maybe he says, well, okay, to play with Vinny or to be a part of that squad I'll take the offer that you're talking about. It could be some of that, too. You're right. Nothing's done until it's done.
A nice Jude Bellingham, Vinny, and Kylian Mbappe lineup. Jesus.
I mean, that would be terrifying for anybody not wearing the royal whites.
I would subscribe to ESPN Plus. I would watch a lot. I'd watch a lot of Real Madrid games.
Yeah, man. It's a wagon. You can hop on anytime you want. A lot of room on that
hop
wagon.
Hop on the biggest bandwagon in all of sport. Come on in. Water's fine. This is the biggest team in the world.
A team that looks at the Dallas Cowboys bandwagon and says, that's cute. That's Real Madrid. Yeah, they're doing all right. So Cristiano Ronaldo has issued a public apology after suffering an injury that contributed to Al Nassr's postponement of their preseason tour of China. He's got a showdown coming up with Messi and Inter Miami on February 1st, and we don't know at this point the extent of the injury and if he'll be available. So I think it's a great time to remind everybody that when you spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to go watch extremely old ass dudes play soccer for the 800 billionth time, sometimes those extremely old ass dudes aren't healthy enough to play. And you just got to live with the fact you paid all this money and you don't get to see what you thought you were going to see. Just a point.
I enjoyed very much reading this and hearing Cristiano to say, you know, I came here in 2000, 2003. China's like a second home to me. And I'm like, you're a great salesperson. You know that?
Yeah, right.
Been there twice, three times in your life. So it plays a second home to me.
Well, even if he's been there like a dozen times, it's like, I mean, you're from Portugal. You've played a lot of soccer in Spain. So there's two homes. You now play in the Middle East. There's a third home.
You played a lot in England.
You played in England too. Like I'm saying,
you spent some years in Italy.
How many second homes can you have? Like, oh, it's a second home to me.
He's making $2 million a week where he's got plenty of second
homes. I don't mean physical. I mean, I'm saying I would think you've spent way more time in any of those other places than where we just talked about with China, where it's like, once every few years, I come back here and I always enjoy it. That would do well.
Yeah.
You can play that. You can say that. It's a second home to you. Like I said, I mean, England's not. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Spain's not. Like, there's got to be somewhere that's a second home to you. Now, you can't have multiple second homes. It's like when my daughter's like, this is my best friend. My oldest will say that. She's like, oh, yeah, that's my bestie. I'm like, you said that about this other girl. She's like, oh, yeah, she's my bestie, too. It's like, there's only one bestie. That's best friend. You have other friends.
Good friends. Great friends.
Awesome friend. One of my favorite people. Best friend is the GOAT. All these guys are going. Two GOATs are going at it this week. No, they're not. Like, Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi cannot have them both as your GOATs.
The greatest
of all time. It's one of them.
I do think it would be, not funny isn't the right word for it, because you do feel bad for the people that spend all that money, but whatever. If you're at that point in your life and you have all that money to spend and then you don't get to see Cristiano Ronaldo, that's fine. If like Messi like tweaks a calf right before the game.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah. And so then you've got this.
It's a game that means nothing.
You've got this random team from the Middle East you've never cared about playing Inter Miami, and now the two guys you wanted to see are both not playing. It would be the height of hilarity. Oh, man. Now, I will caveat that to your point. For the kids who are excited to see it, they're not in this game. They're not the ones paying this money. Their parents are like, come on, I want to get you tickets. Let's go watch these two. And the kids don't know how much it costs. They're not. Right. They're literally there because they think it's cool. I do feel for those kids who don't get
cool.
to see it.
That's a cool thing.
And those kids will have to, you know, they'll hop back into their mom and dad's Lexus SUV.
Man, who the fuck is Julian Gressel?
Mom, Dad, I can't believe you took me to see a guy who, I don't know, couldn't even get on the field for the MLS Cup winners in, like, the final match. Jeez. Sucks, man.
Yeah, that's right. Those kids were watching.
That's the number seven I was watching out there.
Those kids were watching MLS Cup. I'm sure they were. I'm sure that's what they were tuned into. It's all right.
Well, they had the promise of Messi being there, so of course they did.
Oh, that's fair enough. That's right. Maybe this year they will watch. Maybe he'll get there. Or maybe he'll be hurt. Remains to be seen. That sounded like a threat. I didn't mean it to. I did not mean it, to sound like a threat. I just meant
settle down there, Tanya Harding. Jesus.
Nancy Kerrigan. Well, no, Don, you're right. Tanya Harding, you got it. I forgot. That's the
Hey, we got skating that happened here in Columbus this week.
I forgot. Well, keep your eyes peeled. Keep your head on a swivel out there.
Careful with those crowbars.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all for listening. We will talk again next week. We appreciate you checking out Bone and Beam United.